It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And it is time on a Friday for our Pick 6.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
So the Friday version of the Pick 6 goes a little something like this. We pick the six players that we think are going to be most impactful in the Commanders game over the weekend. It's the most impactful. It's not necessarily purely specific to the Commanders. So if we think a Steelers player is going to be at the top of that list, then okay, that's fine. The only rule is you can't pick the quarterbacks because that's too obvious. That is the given every single week. So with that explanation for folks that are new to the show out of the way, Anthony, you are on the tee first this week, I do believe. Who you got? Number one in our Pick 6.
Number one
in our Pick 6, Mr. Hoffman, will be a Steelers player on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, yes, sir. That's not what I was expecting.
Uh-oh. He goes by the name of Najee Harris. Early this week in your chat with Andrew Filippone, he talked about how successful Harris has been the last three games. He has rushed for over 100 yards in his last three games for the first time in his career, and he's averaging 5.96 yards per carry over 54 carries. Craig, that is very concerning, especially against Commanders defense that has sort of kind of been up and down when it comes to defending the run. Even last week against the Giants and Tyrone Tracy, he gashed for 73 yards. So in the first half, anyway. So I'm just saying we need to limit what they do best, and that's running the ball, because their run sets up the pass, and I'd rather them not be able to do that. So I think Najee Harris stopping him is important.
I think that's a great call. Najee, here's the good news and the bad news.
Okay.
The good news is Najee Harris has never, before the last three games, run for 100 yards in three consecutive games. The bad news is that before the last three games, Najee Harris has never run for 100 yards in three consecutive games. So the law of averages says he's due for a stinker.
Okay.
The heater effect, if you will, says he's on one, and he's figured some things out, and their offensive line's starting to come together a little bit. But it was interesting listening to Logan talk about their run game, and I always love listening to Logan talk about the run game because he's such a nerd about it. And I mean that as a full-on compliment, one that he would take very happily. But he said that it's just not very sharp the way that they run it. Like their double teams are not on the same level. They miss target runs. So like there's opportunities to make big plays for the Commanders and get them behind the sticks. And Najee's also not really a home run hitter. So if you do miss him at the first level and he gets 5-6 yards, it's not as big of a threat to go for 60 as some of the other backs that they've played this year. That said, death by 1,000 paper cuts, you still die. So Najee Harris, the consistency that he's had the last couple weeks, the way that it sets up the play action stuff for them, I think that's a really good call for number one.
Number two.
I'm going to try to stick with a Commander here, but I'm going to go one that you probably don't see coming. How about Percy Butler?
Oh, I didn't see that one coming. Left field.
By the way, he named one of the captains this week. Yep. They went big on the captains, by the way. Terry and Bobby are the other two captains this week. Percy, one of their best special teamers, also gets the nod, is technically the special teams captain. But here's the thing about Percy Butler. He plays a lot. And we think of Chin and Kwan as the starting safeties because they are. They're the guys that in two safety sets are playing the most. There have been some times recently where Kwan has come off the field and Percy stayed on. So I gotta do more digging on the consistency of that, whether that was like a one game thing. I think it happened against Chicago. I gotta go back and actually look at that. Note to self, check out Percy Butler's snap count last week. But the reason I say Percy is, one, his presence on the field allows Chin to play in the box. And so going to your point of Najee Harris, getting the best personnel grouping for them on the field is that big nickel package where you got two corners, three safeties, or dime, three corners, three safeties, and Percy's out there in both with Chin playing in the box as a run support player, also playing on tight ends. Pat Freiermuth is a good one, and Chin has drawn a lot of those assignments. But then in the play action game, okay, we're going to leave our corners one-on-one on the outside with maybe a single guy over top. Who's the guy that's over top? It's Percy. He is the fastest guy that they have on the back end. He covers a ton of ground. And I know Quan's probably been in that position maybe a little bit more this year. I think that Percy could be in position to make some plays over the top as a free safety playing, you know, that center fielder type role. So Percy's ability to cover ground in single high looks against a team that likes to throw it deep, but also cover a ton of space underneath and allow Chin to play in the box. It's a little bit of 3D chess. I could have just said Chin probably because he's going to be really important, but they're all important. I'm going to go Percy Butler as number two.
I love it. I love it.
Number three.
Number three, Craig. I'm going to go with our guy, Chris Rodriguez. I think he is the closest thing that we have to a Brian Robinson when it comes to the physicality and being able to, you know, run through tackles. He isn't as explosive as B-Rob, but in terms of like carrying guys, not going down on the first contact, I think he does his job. And last week against the Giants, we saw him seal the game for the Commanders. And I think in part to why we didn't see a lot of him last season, because he had that fumble against the Giants where we also just had a ton of turnovers in general. So I don't think that should have been a huge knock against them. But I think if we would have saw a little bit more out of C-Rod had he not fumbled last season, I think this coaching staff would have been a little bit more higher on him coming into the season. But, you know, he stuck around. He waited for his chance. And that's what, you know, Dan Quinn and the offensive coordinator, they've spoke about him waiting for his opportunity, him going out there and seizing it.
So here's the thing about Chris Rodriguez. There are, I don't mean this disrespectfully, there are a lot of Chris Rodriguezes out there. There's a lot of guys that could play, like relatively speaking, who are good runners that are just like, you gave them the ball and said, hey, first and second down type of stuff, we're just going to hand you the ball on outside zone or bounce or what duo, whatever. Pick your run that they're good at, they can run it. The reason playing running back in the NFL is so daggone hard is because of all the other stuff. Do you hit the pass protection responsibilities? Do you understand the targeting and the timing of runs that it, when it's not as freelancy and it's not, oh, you're out in the open field or, oh, one-on-one with a guy in the hole. Like, can you make your offensive line better? And those nuances of the game, I think, are where a guy like B-Rob separates. Like, B-Rob's so good at all of that. He's a great receiver out of the backfield. With Chris, I think he's a tremendous runner. And so I think we saw that last week. But it's also the reason he didn't make the roster. Yeah. He's a guy like McNichols. Is most of what he is a runner. Let's say it's 85%, yeah, which that 15% can be important. But you know he's not going to miss in pass pro. You know that he's going to run the routes precisely. You know that he's reliable catching the football. But against this Steelers team, you need a guy who can run it. Like, it still is called running back. It's not catching back. It's not blocking back. Like, you can have Eckler and McNichols come in and do some of that stuff in certain situations. You don't want to be a dead giveaway that when Rodriguez is in the game, it's a pass or it's a run. But like, let the running back run. And don't oversimplify it. And Rodriguez had some hits and misses last week in pass pro. There's one where he had it in the same play. He missed his assignment, yeah, and then Jaden was able to duck it, and then he became a lead blocker out in space. And you're like, that's not really what your blocking assignment was here, but way to not quit on the play, kid.
Yeah.
So Chris Rodriguez, I think, is a great call. Can they use him on more than just running plays? How effective is he on those running plays? I think that's a really good call. He's obviously going to be important because Brian Robinson is out this weekend. When we get back, the back half of our pick six, I've got two more. Anthony's got one. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. It's Often Show. We're on the Team 980, wrapping up our pick six here, always live as well, on the free Odyssey app. Picking the six players we think will have the biggest impact in the game on Sunday. And Anthony, I'll pick up here with number four.
Number four.
Yeah, I'm just going to go the easy way to explain this. I'm just going to go with T.J. Watt. I was like, do I go Andrew Wiley? Do I do a wacky bit and talk about John Bates? No, I'm just going to say the guy that they're blocking and why those two are important. T.J. Watt's awesome at football. Great. Good analysis, Hoffman. Nailed it again. They should give you a Marconi. T.J. Watt is a really, really patient pass rusher, but also at times can get a little caught up field. So I think that's actually better to talk about Watt in this way too, to not just try to make it on the Commanders, guys that are going to have to block him. And like, look, we know that Wiley one-on-one pass block set after pass block set is not his ideal situation. They've done a good job of keeping him out of that this year. So whether it's with guys like Eckler or McNichols chipping, Bates, Ertz, Sinnott chipping, straight up just like double teaming him, all that stuff is really important. But there's also an opportunity with T.J. Watt, and I know that sounds crazy. I know that sounds nuts. But he does like to come real vertical up the field. And if Jaden insert against certain coverages and with certain route concepts that create space, if he can be decisive and be like, forget waiting here, maybe something will come open down the field, I'm just going to run and take yardage right now, he could have a big rushing day. And then, obviously, Watt's going to have to be less aggressive in his rush, which then lets Jaden have more time in the pocket. And so you kind of have to pick your poison. That is the hard part about playing Jaden Daniels. So, one, I think you're going to see a lot of different variety. Two, you're going to see Jaden try to take advantage of that. And three, if the game gets out of whack and the Commanders have to drop back and pass a ton and T.J. Watt just gets the tee off, that is terrifying. And again, Jaden, if you see Watt coming, cover the football. He is unbelievable in terms of how often he gets strip sacks. So T.J. Watt, I can't believe he made it to number four, but he's number four.
Yeah, he's tied in the NFL for first in a forced fumble. So definitely want to be on the lookout for that guy.
Yeah, you don't say. All right, you got number five.
Number five, Craig, was more so torn between two guys. I'm gonna go with Terry. My other guy was Luke McCaffrey. For all the reasons you said earlier about this finally being one of those games where he could actually, you know, have opportunities. I feel like Tomlin's going to try to take Terry away. Like, whether they bracket him or even if they do, you know, leave him on an island.
Yeah, I think Tomlin does. Joey Porter, look, here's what's going to happen. Joey Porter Jr., Brooke told us this earlier. Joey Porter Jr. is walking around being like, I follow number one receivers. And it's not personal against Terry. It's not like, oh, I'm going to lock McLaurin up. That's who he is. He follows their number one guys. They play a decent amount of man-to-man. He's really good at it. And if Terry can say, like, nobody guards me man-to-man and have a big day, the Commanders could win this game going away. If Joey Porter Jr. is able to limit Terry, well, then the offense gets a lot more complicated.
Yeah, it could be a long day for sure. But, yeah, I'm going with Terry. I think this is a good opportunity for him to continue the season that he's had thus far. The loudest, you know, 19-yard day of his career.
Yes.
But yards-wise, you know, a relatively quiet day. But I think he can just build on, you know, all the other performances that he's had this year. He's gone over 100 yards several times. And I think this is a spot where he can go out there and help his quarterback. Again, like, he's going to have his opportunity and is going to more so be on Jaden. So, you know, look for him and have that trust in him that he's had in him all season.
Yeah, there's definitely a chance that the other guys are huge here when it comes to, you know, Noah Brown could have a big day. He was their leading receiver last week. Luke, again, is a guy that pops on tape, and it's just like, man, if they can get him some looks. And Jaden's seen it. I'm sure in the meetings they're like, hey, you know, if Luke's in, he's doing a good job. And we've seen it some key spots. Like, Jaden will look to Luke. He knows he can rely on him. It's just he's not a guy that at this point in his career is being put first or second in a lot of progressions, and Jaden's doing a good job at hitting the guys that are first and second. But a part of that is, too, because, like, they trust Luke. Hey, man, if we need you to run an over route here at a certain depth to create the space for someone else, like, Luke's going to nail the route. So he's playing an integral part, even if the statistics aren't necessarily showing it. I think OZ, and I think I might I'm just going to say this here. We can put it down as an honorable mention as a just in case, because I want to talk about another defensive guy next. So I'm not going to double up on receiver. But I think it could be an interesting Diami day. Like, I think that another way that you prevent some of the TJ Watt, and by the way, they've got, you know, Alex Highsmith. They just acquired Preston Smith. Like, Cam Hayward's still really good. Their pass rush is more than just TJ Watt. Screen game becomes enormous, and Diami's been their best screen runner this year. And not to mention, you go make a play. How many times have we seen this team reward guys who makes plays? Mm-hmm. Or reward guys who make plays, right? McNichol's snaps go up as soon as he starts making plays. And Diami last week, that 3rd and 18 late, that set up the touchdown or the field goal. Was that the one before half?
That was the touchdown. Maybe?
Yeah. So Diami getting more chances. He's the guy, the way he runs with the ball right now. You got to find a way to get Diami Brown the football. And who would have thought we would have said that? And not on like, hey, throw it deep and let him run under it. Like, get him the ball and let him be a playmaker. And so Diami asterisk here. But my actual number six.
Number six.
I am going to go with I'm going to go with Frankie Luvu. And the reason I'm going to go with Luvu is because they move him around and they try to find matchups on the other team's worst pass protectors. Well, Broderick Jones is playing right tackle for them. And Broderick Jones has not exactly been good. He's not good. And so if they just line Luvu up on that edge and he can get after Russ, that's huge. But here's the thing. Luvu has gotten good pressures. He hasn't finished as much as of late. So if he finishes the way he finished against, I think it was like Kyler, was one other game that he got a couple, then the Commanders are in excellent shape. If he doesn't, Russ starts running around, and these corners have to cover for 5 seconds down the field, that's obviously less than ideal. So I think Luvu as their matchup hunter on Broderick Jones, but they've also got some other guys on their offensive line that are up and down. They do get their center, Zach Frazier, the rookie back, which is a big deal. But I think Broderick Jones, you know, there's a reason that they drafted Troy Fitanu, who is on IR, and it's so that Broderick Jones wouldn't have to play. And it's not going great for him at right tackle. So Frankie Luvu, Dorrance Armstrong, you know, as well. But if you want, even if you want to write down Broderick Jones, you could write down Broderick Jones, and that would kind of cover what I'm talking about. All right, it's the Hoffman Show. That's our pick six. Six players that we think are going to be most interesting to watch on Sunday, sans the quarterbacks, in Steelers and Commanders. When we get back, Wizards are in Memphis tonight. We check in with Wizards play-by-play voice Dave Johnson next on the Hoffman Show. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. And joining us now, oh, Anthony, I got to get the intro. I'm so out of practice. It's early in the season, but we got to make sure that we give this man a proper introduction.
Jordan Poole now driving up court.
Time to get the radio party started.
Feeds now the right block of Al-Sar. Slam!
It's time for Dave Johnson on a Wizards game day.
Locked by Cole Molly. Left wing George. 3 on the clock for three. It's there.
Feel like busting loose. Busting loose.
Crossover step back. Three. Oh, Jordan Poole. You are cool.
I feel like busting loose. Busting loose now.
On the Hoffman Show.
All right, Dave Johnson joining us from Memphis, Tennessee, which is where, of course, the Wizards will take on the Grizzlies tonight. Dave, how is Memphis? And did you get to go with the guys on the trip yesterday to the History Museum?
You know, I did not go yesterday, but I've been three times. And the Civil Rights Museum is, if you come into Memphis, it's a must-see. It really is a powerful museum. And again, it's at the Lorraine Motel, which was the site of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And you round a corner at one point in that museum, and suddenly you're basically in that iconic picture. So it really is dramatic, and it is something to see. And it's something that, quite frankly, you've done, as I said, I've been three times. You know, last night I didn't make it, but we typically, if we have a night off, we do go to that, and it's just something that if people are considering a trip to Memphis, it's a must see.
I'm curious, Dave, because you've obviously been covering this team for a very long time. You've made many trips, as you just said, to this museum yourself and over the years and the trips there. But I know that in talking to Will Dawkins in the preseason, something that he wants to do with this team is as they travel, as they go different places, make sure that they get bits of culture and use those things as bonding experiences. Is this something that the Wizards, for whatever, you know, or, and other teams regularly do, or is this something that is a little bit different that will, you know, kind of part of Will's plan here to make sure that the development of people is happening, not just the development of basketball skills?
Well, certainly it's been a consistent part of the Wizards' road routine, you know, since Will Dawkins and Michael Winger have been here. And you know, whether it's team dinners or they have sometimes it's movie showings or documentaries or so not every town lends itself, and again, you know, because of our schedule, you're not going to get that night off like in a town like Memphis, like that. But we did have that opportunity last night, and I think it's also, you know, so important because, you know, there's that cliche that sports writers and reporters for have always hated. It's when you talk about one game at a time, but when you're in the course of an NBA season, it really becomes that because sometimes you forget what city you're in, what's next. And so I think it is important for a team that, yeah, it is a business trip. And, yeah, you know, we're doing five games, I think, in 7 days, something like that. So 8 days. And that's not a lot of time breathing room. We need factor in travel. And, you know, tonight we'll travel to Orlando. We will have a day off tomorrow in Orlando, but then it's Orlando and Houston back to back. So it's important to have those breathing moments. And I think to have those breathing moments where you can do it as a team and interact, and maybe certainly the case last night, you don't walk out of that museum without being moved. And there's always a discussion point.
So back on the floor tonight in Memphis after the loss to Golden State the other day. Really, really cool to hear Draymond Green talk about the feistiness of Bob Carrington and Keyshawn George. He was like, oh, y'all talk? That's cool. And we saw Keyshawn in that game get up 17 threes after a rough start, but then hit six of his last 11. What did Brian Keefe say, and what did you make of that specific performance from Keyshawn? We've actually talked about him quite a bit as you visited, Dave, but I feel like it'd be silly not to touch on a guy who was willing to miss that many shots and just keep shooting and ultimately finish with a respectable number by the end of it.
And we said the same thing about, you know, Alex Sarr when people went, you know, nuts when he, you know, missed 13 shots in a row. Look, this is part of what's exciting is let these young guys play, and they're playing. And again tonight, no Kyle Kuzma, so we're gonna start the, you know, the youngest lineup again in franchise history. And so we're gonna start three rookies, and it's, you know, I have some comments in the pregame as well from Steph Curry, and he points out. It was not, you know, we think of Steph Curry as one of the greatest ever to play the game. It was not until his fifth year that he made the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying the Wizards on a five-year plan. But what I'm saying is what he was saying, that you know, you continue to work day in and day out. And, yes, they earn the respect of you know, Draymond Green. And he, you know, talked about some interesting things. He was talking about the rotations of the Wizards defensively and how they never gave up. He said, look, we were in control, but felt like the game was never put away. And that's, you know, you and I have been talking about it for the last couple of years. This Wizards team made last year, might have only had 15 wins. God, you know, God knows what we're going to have this year. But the point is, you tune in the first and the fourth quarter, you hear the intensity to which they play with, they're going to bring it. Because every night, you know, for Bob Carrington, for Keyshawn George, you know, certainly against Golden State, they're playing against guys that, yeah, they watched in elementary school, and now they're playing against them. So they're bringing it. But, you know, it's significant. You know, I think it was Draymond that was talking about, you know, Bob's talking from the start. And you know, it was high praise. And I think the other quote, you know, Draymond Green was saying he had not played against a Wizards team that played that hard in several years. So, you know, that's what we hold our hat on, is if we're going to play hard.
And they certainly are. Dave Johnson, play-by-play voice of the Wizards, with us from Memphis, where the Wiz take on the Grizz tonight at 8 p.m., 7:45 pregame. So just over an hour from now. Small sample sizes should not be overly looked into, but that's all we have at this point in the season, Dave. And Corey Kispert's a guy that is always introspective. He is always trying to figure out how to make his game better. He's shooting just 25% from three so far this year. We know he will probably finish in the high 30s, but what has Corey said so far, and what have you made of the kind of looks he's getting in his role this year that has resulted in the lackluster start for him shooting that, again, I'm sure will come around, but is what it is right now?
Well, we're getting looks, and that's the key. I mean, right now, this team has the fourth fewest isolation plays in the NBA. As we love to play with NBA advanced stats. So what that means is the ball is moving. There's another stat about, we're getting a percentage of open threes is way up now. Open doesn't mean made threes, and that's the problem right now. The Wizards have not made threes, and as many as they should, given the fact their open three total is so high. So, look, he will. It'll happen, and it's I've never seen a shooter, quite frankly, where it doesn't click in. I got to be honest. I guess maybe the only one I witnessed firsthand, and I know many Wizards fans listening to this witness it as well. Look, we saw Davis Bertans with the San Antonio Spurs, and we saw him also 1 year with the Wizards, and then it just never was the same again. But I don't anticipate that, obviously, with Corey Kispert. Typically with, why all shooters seem to go through this situation where they can't miss and then they can't hit. If I knew the science of that, I'd be on the coaching side and not on the broadcasting side. But, he's important to what we do. And those threes have to start going in because the ball movement I just referenced, it's happening. We're up there in screen assists in the NBA. There's so many, and we live in this analytics world. We're number one in the NBA in contested shots. So those are the numbers that you go beyond the wins and losses that says, this team is heading in the right direction.
Slowly but surely, and we knew that's how it was going to be. Dave Johnson will be on the call, as he always is, tonight in Memphis. No Ja Morant, by the way, for the Grizzlies. Got hip soreness. He is out tonight, so big chance for the Wizards to put a W on the board. Dave, always appreciate it, sir, and we'll be talking to you quite a bit over the next week.
And I hope you heard some of what I said, because it is the loudest music playing in the background.
We could hear you. We could also hear the music.
Right, I'm sure. They can hear it in Nashville right now. It's just my chest is pounding. But tune in if you get a chance. Thanks so much.
All right, that's Dave Johnson, everybody. Again, BetMGM tonight follows us for about 45 minutes, and then Dave and Glenn on the call from Memphis pregame at 7:45. Up next, we will pick Commanders, Steelers, and then Real Things Real People Said into Real microphones to close out the week. Here on The Hoffman Show. Not good on the injury front for Washington, as in the Commanders, not as in the Wizards. The Commanders are going to be without not only Marshawn Lattimore, as expected, their new acquisition at corner, hopefully going to make his debut Thursday against the Eagles, but we'll see. But Brian Robinson is out as well for the game on Sunday. Again, we'll pick it next. Busy night in the NBA all around. A couple of great matchups, including the Warriors and Cavs. That is the 9-0 Cavs hosting the Warriors. Again, Wizards are in action. The Caps are in action tonight as well. They're actually hosting the Penguins, so it's a Washington-Pittsburgh weekend. May all the teams in black and gold lose. That's what's trending. I'm Craig Hoffman on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. Appreciate everyone checking us out. As always, on your ride home, on your way out, you make dinner, whatever it is that you're doing, we appreciate you. And if you missed any part of the show, including a great chat with ESPN's Brooke Pryor at 5 o'clock, you can go back and listen to it. Just check out the Hoffman Show podcast wherever you get yours. Anthony, any housekeeping that we should do? I guess we should kind of set up next week.
Chaos!
Because it's Thursday Night Football.
Uh-huh.
So we'll have Michael at 5 o'clock. We will, you know, go around the NFL. We will look at the game. Usual Monday. I feel like Tuesdays where things get a little crazy.
We're off early on Monday. We get off at 6:30.
Oh, God, we are, too. We're off at 6:30. I need that a different day.
I wish it was Wednesday.
Wednesday? Sure. Fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. Not Monday. We got too much to do on Monday.
Yeah.
But Tuesday also, we'll obviously be reviewing the game. I'm kind of starting a transition to looking ahead to Philadelphia. Wednesday, pure Philly preview. Thursday, mega preview. And then Friday, we'll review the game because we'll have another one. So going to be a fun week next week. Looking forward to it. But without further ado, Anthony Haney, let's pick the game. Who you got? Steelers are 2.5-point dogs. We're picking it straight up. Is your left hand going up?
This has been tough. I've been back and forth all weekend. I mean, all week about it. I think we lose this one, Craig.
Mm.
I'm praying that I'm wrong, but I think we lose this game. I think it's probably going to be a 3-point game. It's going to be a lot of back and forth. They're going to edge us out. I think we're going to struggle defending Pickens to an extent. I think they're going to have some short fields, and they'll be able to capitalize off of those. I think offensively, I don't think they're going to pose too big of a problem, but enough of a problem to the point where we lose.
I really struggle with this game because it's two good teams that are fairly well matched. I'd feel way better if Brian Robinson was playing. Mm-hmm. I'd feel also better if Cordarrelle Patterson was not playing for Pittsburgh. He is set to make his return. And not that he, like, the Washington special teams has been good. So the kickoff return stuff, like, he's the best. So obviously a concern, but also their running game gets the home run threat that it's kind of been missing. That said, I kind of think Washington can score. Like, I know this Pittsburgh defense is good, but the Giants move the ball on them. The Jets move the ball on them. The Giants and Jets are not the Commanders offensively, even without B-Rob. I also think that Washington, like, has been a really good starter, and Pittsburgh has been really slow to start, and that's not going to work out as well for Pittsburgh. They have to score touchdowns. Dan Quinn, if you are listening, I know you've probably had your meetings with Dave Gardy, and you guys have been planning all week. I really hope in those meetings you said, hey, guys, it's a touchdown week. It's not. They've done a really good job of managing these games this year. No, not doing the field goal thing. I don't want three drives to stall out in the red zone and two of them to be at the five-yard line, and we're kicking 28-yard field goals this week. No, go for it. If Russell Wilson drives 90 yards on you and you miss, so be it. You can't be up 9-0 after having dominated the game. You need to be up 21-10.
Mm-hmm.
So do that. Please. So I'm going to take Washington. Screw it. I'm throwing caution to the wind. I would take Pittsburgh to cover. I think we could be for a fun, like, late fourth down, get it, score a touchdown, 2-point conversion, whatever type of situation. I would take Pittsburgh in the points. I'm going to take Washington to win a close one. Commanders win 28-27. Something like that.
28-20. That's close.
It's kind of like what happened in the Baltimore game last night.
Yeah. That is a close one.
Well, that's how Washington wins and Pittsburgh covers. It's got to be less than 2.5. I don't have a lot of options.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with a 26-23 kind of game.
Okay. All right. Hopefully Anthony is wrong. And I'm praying I'm wrong.
Please be wrong. Please.
A lot of times I want that to be true just for kicks and giggles. This time I want it to be true for happiness.
Yes.
By the way, did you see the TikTok the Commanders put out about how happiness comes not from being in a relationship? It's like, if you're single right now, don't worry. Happiness comes from Commanders victories, not from relationships. I was like, that is a funny TikTok.
I haven't seen that one. You got to send me that one.
I will try to find it. It was literally on TikTok. The rare times I actually log on to that app outside of posting on it. But yeah, it was pretty funny. My relationship gives me great joy. I just feel like I should say that for the record. But Commanders wins also makes my relationship better because I'm just a happier person because I work here. Okay, we got a lot of things in the real things folder. Let's see how many we can hit. All right, Ant, you're driving today.
Yes, sir. So we have a decent amount in here. Let's start out with a Michigan State Wolverine and the gift.
A Michigan State Wolverine. That's not a thing. It's either a Michigan Wolverine or a Michigan State Spartan.
A Michigan Wolverine who has some nice surprises for a couple of his fellow teammates who are Ohio State alums.
I know where you're going.
Ew. Hey, bro, get on, bro.
Garbage.
Yeah, bro. Garbage.
This is Mike Sanders still.
Garbage.
Walking around the Commanders garbage. Locker room after garbage. Many of his Ohio State teammates got
garbage
packages from their Buckeye garbage. Friends.
Hey, Marshawn. Garbage. Them boxes, garbage.
All right, what else we got? Sanders still. Not messing around. What else we got in the folder?
All right, we also got Draymond. He was talking about Bub and Keyshawn bullying him. When they played this week.
We played the Wizards last night. And I spent the whole game.
Hey, bro, you was getting bullied. Hey, I was getting bullied.
Bro, that was picking game. On my dog. I didn't like that. Bro.
But you did trigger them. You did trigger them.
No, first off, the two young fellas, Terry, Bub, and Keyshawn Jordan, they start talking to me. I'm literally sitting there asking them, like, yo, y'all talk? They like, yeah, it's what we on. I said, oh, cool, we can talk then. All right, let's go. I was excited as hell. So we talking.
No, you got
they weren't bullied. I was getting bullied.
You got hit with TMZ angle.
Yeah, they was on him.
They were. And for Draymond to be like, oh, them dudes talk. They must have talked a lot.
Yeah. I mean, they give me that, though, you know. Bub is from the inner city of Baltimore. He also played in a very tough league in high school. Also played.
Keyshawn's the one that's funny.
Yeah. I didn't expect Swiss. That from him.
He's Swiss. They're famously non-confrontational.
Really? All of them?
Anthony, if that doesn't click with you, we need to do a World War II history deal. Okay, you're gonna come over and we're gonna do a history lesson and then we'll play some Madden or some FIFA or something. Okay, that's our show. That's somehow where it's ending. Have a great week, everybody. A great weekend. See you on Monday.